Good morning. This is Precept Bible Study from Roland Springs Baptist Church. And as you know, if you've been following through our lessons, we are studying the book of Joshua. And we have come to lesson 7, which is our last lesson in the study of Joshua. So what we want to do is to look and see what we have learned from this lesson, because God's Word is teaching us today the principles of His Word. So let us begin by having prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we're so thankful, Father, for Your precious Word. We're so thankful, Father, that we have the privilege to read and study Your Word. And, Father, that we have the Holy Spirit within us to teach us and guide us, that we may know You more, Father. And I just pray that as we come to the close of this study, that each of us have received more about You in our hearts and in our very souls, that we may live it out, Father, to glorify Your name and to share it with others, that they too may come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. So we ask that You teach us today, as we come to these last chapters, that we may glorify Your name, Father. And I ask it all in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, in today's study, looking back at the chapters that we have previously studied, we're looking at different segments, and we have learned that Joshua is divided into different segments because different things take place in the study of Joshua. In chapters 1 through 5, we see that Joshua and Israel's preparation to take the land. And they also cross the Jordan here at this point. And then in the next segment, chapters 6 through 12, we learned that Joshua led the battles to conquer the land. And then the next segment we studied was chapters 13 through 21. And in this segment, Joshua apportioned the land to the tribes of Israel. So, in these last chapters, 22 through 24, this is the last segment. So, what have you learned in reading and studying from your lesson that you had today? First of all, we find that Joshua chapter 22 is about 2.5 tribes and that they built an altar. So that was the theme of chapter 22. And in chapter 23, we learned that the theme of that chapter was that Joshua spoke to Israel to keep the law and to cling to God and to love Him. And then in chapter 24, the theme of that chapter was Joshua made a covenant. And then, of course, we learned that he died in this last chapter. So let's begin by reading the first 9 verses. And we're going to kind of get through this as quickly as we can, but try to get the main points as we study. So I will read these verses, and then we'll go back and see what they're saying. Joshua 22, verse 1. Then Joshua summoned the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, and said to them, "You have kept all that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, and have listened to my voice in all that I commanded you. You have not forsaken your brothers these many days to this day, but have kept the charge of the commandment of the Lord our God, your God. And now the Lord your God has given rest to your brothers as he spoke to them. Therefore, turn now and go to your tents, to the land of your possession, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave beyond the Jordan. Only be careful to observe the commandment and the law which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, to love the Lord your God and walk in his ways and keep his commandments and hold fast to him and serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. So Joshua blessed them and sent them away, and they went to their tents. Now, to the one half-tribe of Manasseh, Moses had given a possession in Bashan, but to the other half, Joshua gave a possession among their brothers westward beyond the Jordan. So when Joshua sent them away to their tents, he blessed them and said to them, return to your tents with great riches and with very much livestock, with silver and gold and bronze and iron, and with many clothes. Divide the spoil of your enemies with your brothers, the sons of Reuben and the sons of Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh. Returned home and departed from the sons of Israel at Shiloh, which is in the land of Canaan, to go to the land of Gilead, to the land of their possession, which they had possessed according to the command of the Lord through Moses. Okay, we see here that Joshua gathered the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half of Manasseh, those who had land on the east side of the river Jordan. And he commanded them for obedience in fighting to help the other tribes take the land for their inheritance. And he blessed them and he sent them home. If you go back and do a reference study at Numbers 32, verse 1 through 33, you see the relation here. After Israel defeated Sihon and Og, Amorite kings east of the Jordan, the two and a half tribes asked Moses for the land. So this is where we see that Moses, in the book of Numbers, agreed for these two and a half tribes to have the land. And they agreed to leave their families there and go with the rest of Israel into Canaan to fight the enemies there. In other words, we're seeing that in Joshua 22, all the land was in Israel's control, and the two and a half tribes had kept their promise. They continued to go with them to fight the battle. Now let's read further and see what is taking place in chapter 22 of Joshua, verses 10 through 20. When they came to the region of the Jordan, which is in the land of Canaan, the sons of Reuben, sons of Gad, the half-tribe of Manasseh, built an altar there by the Jordan, a large altar in appearance. And the sons of Israel heard of it then. Behold, the sons of Reuben, the sons of Gad, and half-tribe of Manasseh have built an altar at the frontier of the land of Canaan in the region of the Jordan on the side belonging to the sons of Israel. And when the sons of Israel heard of it, the whole congregation of the sons of Israel gathered themselves at Shiloh to go up against them in war. And then the sons of Israel sent to the sons of Reuben, the sons of Gad, the half-tribe of Manasseh, into the land of Gilead, Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the priest, and with him 10 chiefs, one chief for each father's household, from each of the tribes of Israel, and each one of them was the head of his father's household among the thousands of Israel. They came to the sons of Reuben and the sons of Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh to the land of Gilead, and they spoke with them, saying, "Thus says the whole congregation of the Lord, what is this unfaithful act which you are committed against the God of Israel, turning away from following the Lord this day by building yourselves an altar to rebel against the Lord this day? Is not the iniquity of Peor enough for us, from which we have not cleansed ourselves in this day, although a plague came on the congregation of the Lord, that you must turn away this day from following the Lord? If you rebel against the Lord today, he will be angry with the whole congregation of Israel tomorrow. If, however, the land of your possession is unclean, then cross into the land of the possession of the Lord, where the Lord's tabernacle stands, and take possession among us. Only do not rebel against the Lord or rebel against us by building an altar for yourselves besides the altar of the Lord our God. Did not Achan, the son of Zerah, act unfaithfully in the things under the ban, and wrath fall on all the congregation of Israel? And that man did not perish alone in his iniquity." So what is happening? What is taking place between the tribes on the east side and the tribes on the west side? Remember that the tribe of these had already been given the land. They had already been established in their inheritance. The ones of Reuben, Gad, and the half of Manasseh. So we see here that they heard worthless men had subdued. Now, this is looking at Deuteronomy. Why then has Israel, let me go back and get started again in this. The question is, why is Israel preparing war against their brothers? And if you look at your reference in Deuteronomy 13, verses 12 through 16, you see where it says that if they heard worthless men had seduced the inhabitants of a city to serve other gods, then they were to investigate it thoroughly. And if it was true, they was to destroy the city and all of it. So the 9.5 tribes investigated before going against the 2.5 tribes. So we're looking now at what is taking place, because the sons of Reuben, Gad, and the half of Manasseh were building an altar, and they were building it on the side that was belonging the inheritance to the Israelites, the other 9 tribes. And so we know that in doing that, they became upset. And it said that they were reminded of what happened when Achan, the son of Zerah, was unfaithful in the things of the ban. And they're saying to them, now that you've got your inheritance, are you going to set up an altar against the Lord and come against us? And he says, the land of your possession is unclean, then cross into the land of the possession of the Lord, where the Lord's tabernacle stands, and take possession among us. Only do not rebel against the Lord. So what they were saying, if you're going to come over here on our side and set up an altar, then you're rebelling against the Lord God. So let's read further and see what happens as we read verses 21 through 24. I mean through 34. We're going to see what takes place. And starting with verse 21, then the sons of Reuben and the sons of Gad and the half tribe of Manasseh answered and spoke to the heads of the family of Israel. The mighty one God, the Lord, the mighty one God, the Lord, he knows, and may Israel itself know, if it was in rebellion or if in unfaithful act against the Lord. Do not save us this day. If we have built us an altar to turn away from following the Lord, or if to offer a burnt offering, a grain offering on it, or if to offer sacrifices of peace offerings on it, may the Lord himself require it. But truly, we have done this out of concern, for a reason, saying, in time to come, your sons may say to our sons, what have you to do with the Lord, the God of Israel? For the Lord has made the Jordan a border between us and you. You sons of Reuben and sons of Gad, you have no portion in the Lord. So your sons may make our sons stop fearing the Lord. Therefore we said, let us build an altar, not for burnt offering or for sacrifice, but rather for a witness between us and you, between our generation after us, that we are to perform the service of the Lord before him with our burnt offerings and with our sacrifices, with our peace offerings, so that our sons will not say to our sons in time to come, you have no portion in the Lord. Therefore, we said, it shall also come about, if they say this to us or to our generation to come, then we shall say, see the copy of the altar of the Lord, which our father made, not for burnt offerings or for sacrifice, but rather for a witness between us and you. Far be it from us that we should rebel against the Lord and turn away from following the Lord this day by building an altar for burnt offerings, for grain offerings, or for sacrifice, besides the altar of the Lord of God, which is before his tabernacle. Verse 30. So when Phinehas the priest and the leaders of the congregation, even the heads of the family of Israel who were with him, heard the words which the sons of Reuben and sons of Gad and the sons of Manasseh spoke, it pleased them. And Phinehas the son of Eleazar, the priest, said to the sons of Reuben and the sons of Gad and the sons of Manasseh, today we know that the Lord is in our midst because you have not committed this unfaithful act against the Lord. Now you have delivered the sons of Israel from the hand of the Lord. And then Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the priest, and the leaders returned from the sons of Reuben and from the sons of Gad, from the land of Gilead to the land of Canaan, to the sons of Israel, and brought back word to them. The word pleased the sons of Israel. The sons of Israel blessed God, and they did not speak of going up against them in war to destroy the land in which the sons of Reuben and the sons of Gad were living. The sons of Reuben and the sons of Gad called the altar witness, for they said, "It is a witness between us that the Lord is God." So now, looking at all of these verses that we have just read, what is the picture that we get? What happened? When Israel confronted their brothers, the tribe of Reuben and Gibeon and the half and the sons of Gad and the sons of Manasseh, that half tribe, whenever they confronted them and they discovered that they had been wrong in their assumption of a rebellion, after they had talked it over with them, they learned the reason for it. You know, today, this happens among many nations today, and that's why that they have to come together and have peace treaties. They have to come together and find the reasoning when things happen. Even in the United States, we see sometimes that planes get into our territory or ships get in our territory. And the whoever it belongs to, if it's Russia or who it is, the United States and our president, they have to come together and talk it over and see what the reasoning was it for. So before they come to war with one another. So if the truth is investigated, then there won't be bad results to come about. So this is why that it was very important that they investigated it. So what was the reason then that they give that they built the altar? And in reading the scripture, we learned that their reasoning was for a witness, and they wanted it to be a witness for the future generation, for their children and their children's children, that the east and the west of the Jordan, both sides that they had inherited, they were to remember that the tribes of the east were also a part of the land and the nation. So what did they call this altar that they built? They said all through the word here that they were not building it for burnt offerings or for sacrifice, but only for witness. And so here they called it a witness between them and the Lord of God, the Lord God Almighty. And here we see that they recognized him as Lord, Lord God Almighty, the Mighty One. So here we see in this chapter that they called God the Mighty One. So today we know that we worship the same Mighty One that they worship in the day of Joshua. Now, let's go further into Joshua 23 and see what God's Word continues to teach us And at the end of this study, we will look at some of the things that we should have learned, and hopefully we have all learned. But now reading chapter 23 of Joshua, starting with verse 1 through 13. Now it came about after many days, when the Lord had given rest to Israel from all their enemies on every side, and Joshua was old, advanced in years, that Joshua called for all Israel, for their elders and their heads and their judges and their officers, and said to them, I am old, advanced in years, and you have seen all that the Lord your God has done to all these nations because of you, for the Lord your God is he who has been fighting for you. Remember that the Lord is fighting for them. See, I have apportioned to you these nations which remain as an inheritance for your tribes with all the nations which I have cut off from the Jordan even to the great sea toward the setting of the sun. The Lord your God, he will thrust them out from among you and drive them from before you, and you will possess their land, just as the Lord your God has promised you. Be very firm, then, to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, so that you may not turn aside from it to the right or to the left, so that you will not associate with these nations. These which remain among you, or mention the name of their gods, or make anyone swear by them, to serve them or bow down to them. But you are to cling to the Lord your God, as you have done to this day. For the Lord has driven out great and strong nations before you, and as for you, no man has stood before you to this day. One of your men puts to flight 1,000, for the Lord your God is he who fights for you, just as he promised you. So take diligent heed to yourselves to love the Lord your God. For if you ever go back and cling to the rest of these nations, these which remain among you, and intermarry with them, so that you associate with them, and they with you, know with certainty that the Lord your God will continue to drive these nations out from before you, but they will be a snare and a trap to you, and a whip on your sides and thorns in your eyes, until you perish from off this good land which the Lord your God has given you. Now, what is taking place in chapter 23 in the Word of God? First of all, we see that that after many days that the Lord had given rest to Israel, and Joshua had become old. And this is where that he speaks to Israel, the whole household of Israel. And if you again look at your reference in Deuteronomy 7, verses 17 through 24, we see in these verses that God had promised to clear out the nations and to give Israel the land. And here in the book of Joshua, we see that God stands to his promise. He never backs up. He never lacks of what he promises. He told them about what the Lord would do for them, Joshua did, as they took possession of their land. And also he told them that the Lord would fight for them. And looking at verses 6 through 11, Joshua gives commands to the people of Israel. He says, obey what is written in the law and to cling to the Lord and be diligent to love him. And he also gives warnings in these verses. He says, don't turn from the law and don't associate or mix with the nations of their gods. And don't cling to the nations or intermarry with them, because there'll be a snare and a trap until Israel will perish from the land. And here we go to 2 Corinthians as a reference to what God is saying, even all the way to the New Testament. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, 14 and chapter 7 verse 1, we see that there is no partnership, no fellowship, or no harmony, or no agreement, nothing in common with believers and unbelievers. Here it's saying that believers are to be separated from unbelievers as far as being bound with them. What is that referring to? It's referring back to what Joshua was warning them about, mixing with other nations or intermarrying with them or mixing with their gods. In Corinthians, Paul teaches that you're to separate yourselves from unbelievers, not being bound to them. That doesn't mean that you should not live among them, but you shouldn't intermarry with unbelievers. Believers live in the world, but are not to be partners with the world, because the Lord is holy. Now, looking at verses 14 through 16, we'll read those verses and then we'll go over them. Now behold, in verse 14, now behold, today I'm going the way of all the earth, and you know in all your hearts and all your souls that not one word of all the good words which the Lord our God spoke concerning you have failed. All have been fulfilled for you, and not one of them has failed. It shall come about that just as all the good words which the Lord your God spoke to you have come upon you, so the Lord will bring upon you all the threats until he has destroyed you from off this good land which the Lord your God has given you. When you transgress the covenant of the Lord your God, which he commanded you, and go and serve other gods and bow down to them, then the anger of the Lord will burn against you, and you will perish quickly from off the land which he has given you. So this is what we have just said, that in the very end that we see in verses 14 through 16, that Joshua was about to die, and he reminded Israel that all of God's promises to them were fulfilled and none had failed. And he is also seeing in these verses there's a contrast. And that contrast is what he says, when you transgress, you'll perish from the land. And he told them what they would do in the future. And all these things in verses 15 and 16, Israel did. And the Lord drove them from the land. We have the full picture. We know exactly what takes place and exactly what Joshua said would come about. And let's read now in the last chapter, in chapter 24. Starting with verse 1 of chapter 24. Then Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and called for the elders of Israel and for their heads and their judges and their officers, and they presented themselves before God. And I'm reading the first 13 verses. And Joshua said to all the people, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, from ancient times your fathers lived beyond the river, namely Terah, the father of Abraham, the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. And then I took your father Abraham from beyond the river and led him through all the land of Canaan and multiplied his descendants and gave him Isaac. To Isaac I gave Jacob and Esau, and to Esau I gave Mount Seir to possess it. But Jacob and his sons went down to Egypt. And then I sent Moses and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt by what I did in its midst. And afterward I brought you out. I brought your fathers out of Egypt, and you came to the sea. And Egypt pursued your fathers with chariots and horsemen to the Red Sea. And when they cried out to the Lord, he put darkness between you and the Egyptians and brought the sea upon them and covered them. And your own eyes saw what I did in Egypt. And you lived in the wilderness for a long time. And then I brought you into the land of the Amorites who lived beyond the Jordan. And they fought with you, and I gave them into your hand, and you took possession of their land when I destroyed them before you. And then Balak, the son of Zippor, the king of Moab, arose and fought against Israel, and he sent and summoned Balaam, the son of Beor, to curse you. But I was not willing to listen to Balaam. So he had to bless you, and I delivered you from his hand. You crossed the Jordan and came to Jericho. And the citizens of Jericho brought you, and the Amorite, and the Perizzite, and the Kenite, and the Hittite, and the Girgashite, and the Hivite, and the Jebusite. Thus I gave them into your hand. And then I sent the hornet before you, and it drove out the two kings of the Amorites from before you, but not by your sword or your bow. I gave you a land on which you had not labored, in cities which you had not built, and you have lived in them. You are eating of vineyards and olive groves which you did not plant." Now, what are these verses about? Joshua here called or summoned Israel's leaders to session. And he reminded Israel of all that God did to bring them to rest in the land. He tells him that he took Abraham from his land to Canaan, and he gave him descendants, offsprings, and especially Isaac. And then he tells him that God gave Jacob and Esau to Isaac. And then to Esau, he gave the land, Mount Seir, a hill country of Seir. And then he sent Moses and Aaron and plagues to bring the people out of Egypt. And then God brought them to the Amorites' land and gave them to Israel. And then he delivered Israel from Balak and Balaam. And now he says he gave Jericho and the rest of the land to them. So here we're seeing of what Joshua is telling them that God has done in the past and what he is doing now for these, his people. So we're going to read further now in look at verse 14 through 15. Verse 14 of Joshua says, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. If it is disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves today whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served, which were beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So what is Joshua saying in these verses? He commanded and he challenged Israel, didn't he? He said to fear and serve the Lord in sincerity and truth and faithfulness, and put away other gods. Choose today for yourselves who you will serve. So he challenged the people to make a choice for themselves. They had followed the Lord because of Joshua following him, but Joshua was about to die, and he wanted them to serve the Lord and not the gods, which were not gods at all. And he pointed out that they, Israel, were in the land of those gods. And the Lord God of all the earth had given the land to them, and there was nothing so-called gods could do about it. So here he is saying to them, you serve, choose today who you will serve. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Now then, let's read verse 16 through 18 and continue in our study. Verse 16, the people answered and said, far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God is he who brought us and our fathers up out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, and who did these great signs in our sight and preserved us through all the way in which we went and among all the peoples through whose midst we passed. The Lord drove out from before us all the people, even the Amorites who lived in the land. We also will serve the Lord, for he is our God. So here the people agree with Joshua, and they agree to serve the Lord. Now, we're going to look through all of this when we come to the end, but let's continue reading verses 19 through 28. Then Joshua said to the people, you will not be able to serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions or your sins if you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods. Then he will turn and do you harm and consume you after he has done good to you. The people said to Joshua, no, but we will serve the Lord. And Joshua said to the people, you are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen for yourselves the Lord to serve him. And they said, we are witnesses. Now therefore, put away the foreign gods which are in your midst, and incline your ears to the Lord God of Israel. And the people said to Joshua, we will serve the Lord our God, and we will obey his voice. So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day, and made for them a statute and an ordinance in Shechem. And Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God, and he took a large stone and set it up there under the oak that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. Joshua said to all the people, behold, this stone shall be for a witness against us, for it has heard all the words of the Lord which he spoke to us. Thus it shall be a witness against you, so that you do not deny your God. Then Joshua dismissed the people to his inheritance. Now, looking at these verses, we're seeing how that Joshua responded to their agreement. And he said they'd not be able to serve the holy and jealous God, and he would not forgive them. Why? And he gave them the reason. If they forsook for other gods, he knew what was in the future for them. And he warned them against what would happen if they turned from serving the only God. And again, our cross reference goes back to Deuteronomy 29, verses 14 through 21. And in this these verses, it tells us there is no forgiveness for one who turns from God in his heart and lives like an unbeliever. He actually is an unbeliever and will suffer the consequences. And this applies to us today, that we too will face the consequences if we turn against the Lord our God. And then Joshua made a covenant with the people as a witness there in Shechem. Now let's finish up these verses, verses 29 through 33. It came about after these things that Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the territory of his inheritance in Timnath-Serah, which is in the hill country of Ephraim on the north of Mount Gaash. And Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who survived Joshua and had known all the deeds of the Lord which he had done for Israel. Now they buried the bones of Joseph, which the sons of Israel brought up from Egypt at Shechem, in the piece of ground which Jacob had bought from the son of Hamor, the father of Shechem, for 100 pieces of money, and they became the inheritance of Joseph's sons. And Eleazar, the son of Aaron, died, and they buried him at Gibeah of Phinehas, his son, which was given him in the hill country of Ephraim. So, how does it end? We see in verses 29 and 30 that Joshua died at 110 years of age and was buried in his inheritance. And then in verse 31, we learn that Israel served the Lord as long as Joshua and the elders were alive, who had known his deeds or his work. And then the last two verses, 32 and 33, we see that Joseph's bones were buried at Shechem, and Eleazar the priest died, and the Lord chose Phinehas to be the next high priest of Israel. If you want to get a reference of about Joseph's bones, look at Genesis chapter 50, verse 22 through 26, and also in Hebrews 11, verse 22, and in Exodus chapter 13, verse 19. It tells us Joseph's bones were buried in the land of Israel. Now, the last assignment that you had of this course asked about Joshua and references to Joshua. What did we learn about Joshua? We learned that the Lord promised Joshua that no man would be able to stand before him all the days of his life. Just as he had been with Moses, he would be with Joshua. And then the Lord promised that he wouldn't fail or forsake Joshua. And in Joshua 24, it's clear that he kept all of his promises to Joshua. And then he commanded Joshua to be strong and courageous, to meditate on his word and be careful to do it and not tremble or be dismayed. This is the one time, there's one time where it's recorded in the book of Joshua that he did not ask the Lord's counsel. And that was with the Jebusites in Joshua 24. And yet we see that he ended his life as a faithful servant to the Lord. So Moses, you know, is one that was called by God as God's servant. And Joshua then was called his servant at the end of the book. And so both Moses and Joshua were great leaders of God's people. But we see that they both were servants of the Lord. So looking now at some of what we have studied, we've learned that Joshua took the land and it had rest from war. That was in chapter 11. And in chapter 19, we learned that he finished dividing the land. And in chapter 21 of Joshua, the Lord gave Israel all the land and they possessed it and lived in it. And in chapter 23 of Joshua, God gave a warning to Israel that they would perish from the land if they didn't obey and keep his commandments. And of course, in this last chapter, in chapter 24, Joshua dismissed the people, each to his own inheritance. So what have we learned about God? We learned that he did not fail Egypt, but he fulfilled all the promises to them. And he didn't fail Joshua, but he fulfilled the promises to him personally. So how does it apply to our lives today? What have we learned from our study today? Through God's word, we know that he never fails us. And we see in his word that he doesn't fulfill our promises always just when we ask, but he fulfills our promises on his time, because God is God. And he sees the past, the present, and the future that we can't see. And we know from the book of Romans that he promises that he will keep us and that all things work together for good for those that love him, that are called by his name. And Father, that And that we keep his word, that we keep his commandments. So it same thing applies to us today as it did in the day of Joshua. We have the same God. He's never changed. He will never change. He never lies. He's a jealous God. He wants us to worship him and him alone. And today, in the time that we're living, we see that the same thing has happened to us as a nation, as a country, and as a world of God's creation, that we too, like Israel, we fell away from carrying out his commands and living our lives in full dedication to him. So as you read further in the scripture, you learn that Israel did fail, and that they did start worshiping other gods, and they didn't keep God's commandments. And what happened to them? Just as God's word said it would, his judgment had to come upon him. And we know that we ourselves, in our failures, in our failing to keep His commandments, that His judgment will come upon us. But the good story is that if we put all of our trust in Him, if we worship Him in truth and in spirit, He is going to bless us continuously in our lives. And everything will be worked for good, that we may serve Him and that we may bring Him honor and glory. So I pray that in all of this that we have learned from God in this study what a great and mighty, almighty God that He is. So we will close in today's lesson in prayer. Father, how can we ever thank You for Your word? How can we ever, Father, praise You for who You are, Father? Because You bless us so much. You love us so much. And the great story and the part that we have today is knowing that Jesus came and He went to the cross for us. He died for us. He took all of our sins. He became our kinsman redeemer that we might have life everlasting. And we just praise You, Father, that the third day You raised Him from the dead. And because of His resurrection, we too have the promise of eternal life, that we too, on the day of His return for the church, that we too will be raised, Father. And we just give You praise and honor and glory, Father, and thank You, and we love You. And I ask it in Jesus' sweet name. In our next study, I think that God is leading me to continue us in a study through the Old Testament, but I'm not going to say today of what that will be, but you will be praying, I pray, that God will give me the leadership to choose what we need to study next. Because, Father, it's for each of you, it's for His glory. And I want to lead the things that He instructs me, the things that we need to know about Him. And I ask you to be in fervent prayer for me, that I will be in God's will and pray for one another. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.